Welcome to VOA's International Edition. I'm Susan Yawkey in Washington. Coming up, an analyst considers the faltering Syrian peace process. We speak with Save the Children in Sicily about the deadly week of migrants to Europe. We'll hear about China's 50-cent party on the web.
This is definitely propaganda. This is false information. This is stuff that people are clearly being told what to say.
And is Led Zeppelin's famous Stairway to Heaven going to court? It's all on today's International Edition. The chief negotiator of the main Syrian opposition group, the High Negotiations Committee, has resigned his post. Mohammed Alush, in a statement, said the suspended Geneva proximity talks had not resulted in a political transition away from President Bashar al-Assad or ease the plight of Syrians caught in besieged areas. The talks have been suspended since April, and no date for resumption has been set. Alush said the previous rounds had been unsuccessful because of the stubbornness of the Assad regime and its continued bombardments and aggressions against the Syrian people. He called on the international community to put pressure on Russia and the Assad government to, quote, stop the killing of our people, end quote. Syrian analyst David Lesh of Trinity College in Texas tells VOA's Victor Beatty, Alush's departure from the peace process is the inevitable result of the piecemeal breakdown of the peace process, which reached its highest point with the U.S.-Russia cessation of hostilities in late February.
Partly due to the fact that the regime has made gains over the last number of months with Russian and Iranian support, so really they're in no mood to negotiate. They feel they don't have to negotiate or make the necessary concessions, at least from the point of view of the opposition. And the opposition, certainly the High Negotiation Committee, certainly many elements of the High Negotiation Committee, they must be very, very frustrated right now because they really don't have a military option to speak of against the Assad regime. But on the other hand, the powers that be, particularly the United States and Russia, seem to be focused more on the jihadist groups, Jabhat al-Nusra, and particularly the Islamic State. For better or worse, even the United States, I think, has made the calculation that the Assad regime is a necessary evil for the time being. So this is not surprising to me at all. It is a blow to the process, but it's a process that's been unraveling for a number of weeks now.
Well, what about the government's ultimate objective at this point, in your view?
The Syrian government's ultimate objective is to stay in power and to slowly and incrementally increase the amount of territory under their control. And something they've been trying to do ever since the beginning is to try to convince most of the Syrian population that, for better or worse, they are the only alternative. They are the only group among the many groups within Syria that can provide some semblance of normalcy and a return to stability after so many people are war-weary after 5 years of conflict. And so I think that's what they're trying to do, and I think they and their backers in Russia and in Iran hope that the non-jihadist opposition will be so weary of war and so tired of the depredations of war that they'll come to the negotiating table and accept the conditions that are more favorable to the regime.
And do you anticipate that sometime this year?
I don't. The only way it happens is if Vladimir Putin and Russia put the necessary pressure on Assad to make some concessions to at least give some face-saving way out of this for those elements of the Syrian opposition that are willing to enter into some sort of political settlement. It may even be a critical mass of the non-jihadist opposition, which may satisfy, you know, enough of the international community, because Putin, I think, sees something of a political horizon when the Obama administration goes out of power, and it's been an administration that's been willing to work with him and Russia, at least on Syria, tacitly, if not openly, particularly in terms of trying to get some sort of political settlement. And I think there's some unpredictability about whether the next U.S. president, whether it be Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, will be so inclined to work with Russia or to understand the situation in Syria as it stands today.
Syria analyst David Lesh of Trinity College. Joining me here at the anchor desk is our social media reporter, Andrew Palchevsky, and he's going to talk to us today about a somber occasion, but also a fun occasion in the United States, Memorial Day, where we remember those who have fallen in service to our country.
Absolutely. That's what's trending on social media today, hashtag Memorial Day 2016. Also, hashtag thank you for your service, as people remember those who have served in the armed forces, who have given their lives in service of the United States and the armed forces. We're seeing a lot of scenes on social media. President Obama made a trip to Arlington National Cemetery, as the president does every year, to lay a wreath there at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. We're also seeing some scenes from the weekend. Yesterday at the U.S. Capitol, there was a big Memorial Day concert that they had to honor those men and women who have served the U.S. with the Beach Boys were headlining the concert. So
yes, they're great. I've seen them myself several
times.
Yes,
so we get to see some of that. And then also Rolling Thunder, which is an annual tradition where tens of thousands of motorcycle riders come through Washington, D.C. to pay tribute to those who have died in service of the United States. And it really is a just kind of stunning to see in person all these motorcycles rolling through and just the noise of it and all the flags that are waving. It really is exciting. But people noting, you know, that they're very thankful for those who have served. People saying that it shouldn't really be a happy Memorial Day. Memorial Day is kind of considered the unofficial start of summer here in the U.S. People have, you know, picnics and barbecues and things, but some people saying, well, it's not really a happy day. It's one where you should be reflecting and thankful for these men and women who have served. And always, every year, there's inevitably one company or person who has a social media fail. They say something that they try to make it, you know, part of a sale at a store, or they try to market some kind of product using Memorial Day as kind of a peg, and they inevitably just fail at doing that. We haven't seen that just yet, but I have no doubt by tomorrow we're going to see somebody that has tried, in good intentions, tried to use Memorial Day as a way to market their product and just gets a lot of backlash on social media. So maybe we'll see that tomorrow. But the bottom line is, hashtag, as we said, thank you for your service to all the men and women out there who have served the United States.
And we do send them our thanks.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you, Andrew. We invite you to follow the International Edition stream at VOA_IE. In the news, Iraqi security forces storm Fallujah in a bid to retake the city. Former Chad dictator Habre is convicted and sentenced to life in prison. Thousands of Syrians are trapped as Islamic State pushes towards the border. News, feature reports, and more are at voanews.com. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
A new study suggests symptoms of multiple sclerosis, an autoimmune disease of the central nervous system, may be reduced with an occasional diet that mimics fasting. The study finds that this diet produces the hormone cortisone, which kills bad immune cells while creating healthy new cells. Part of the study was conducted on mice with an autoimmune disease. Some of the mice were put on the fast-mimicking diet for 3 days, every 7 days, over a 30-day period. The researchers found that the disease symptoms in the mice on the fast-mimicking diet were reduced. 20% of them completely recovered from their autoimmune disease. They also found that this diet stimulates the restoration of myelin, an insulating cover of proteins and fats that protect nerve fibers in the spine and brain that are damaged by autoimmune diseases such as multiple sclerosis. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hundreds of people are feared drowned in recent days in rickety boats operated by smugglers from Libya headed to Europe. The UN says as many as 700 men, women, and children may have been lost in at least 3 shipwrecks on the Mediterranean Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, in the worst tragedy of its kind in more than a year. In the worst incident, a boat carrying hundreds of African migrants being towed by a larger vessel began taking on water hours after departing Libya, and after attempts to keep it afloat failed, was cut loose by the towing boat's captain as it sank, trapping many below deck. Giovanna Benedito of the humanitarian group Save the Children spoke with us from Sicily after survivors rescued by the Italian Navy arrived at Italian ports.
They told us that they left from Libya on Thursday night, and there were 100 people. They don't know exactly how many, maybe 400, maybe more. They are so they left Thursday night. On Friday morning, the boat begins to have water. So there are 100 people that are missing. This week probably was one of the worst weeks in the last years. because arrived at least 30,000 people. They were rescued from Italian Coast Guard, Italian Navy, and Navy of other European countries. And they arrived not only in Sicily, also in other regions in Italy. Only in 1 week, at least 30,000 people. And there were at least 3 shipwrecks, maybe more. We don't know exactly. We have to understand, because the people of the survivor of the shipwrecks were rescued from a lot of ships and arrived in different ports.
Are most of the migrants from Africa?
Yes, from West Africa and East Africa. Somalia, Eritrea, Ethiopia, and also from Nigeria, Ivory Coast, Gambia, Mali, Senegal, these kind of countries. They lived terrible, terrible situation. They told us terrible story. They saw killing people only because those people want to have some food. Their story are really, really terrifying.
Why are they fleeing their homeland?
They escape for different reasons. They escape, for example, from a military service in Eritrea. They escape from some violence or conflict in other countries where there is no an official war like in Syria, but there are many situations of conflict. They escape also from poverty, from a difficult economic situation. What we are seeing these days, that is terrible, the condition of the boat. The boats are really, really bad, in bad condition. They began to reach, to have water after a few hours after they left from Libya, because are very, very old and terrible boat.
Giovanna Benedito isn't sure how to curb such dangerous smuggling operations, but she says European authorities must redouble their efforts to increase search and rescue operations amid an uptick in migration flows from Libya. Coming up on International Edition, China putting money in some pockets and propaganda on the web. And Stairway to Heaven, maybe a stairway to court. China's censorship of the Internet is almost as famous as it is old. The so-called Great Firewall was introduced just months after China linked up to the web, and officials there routinely boast of their ability to restrict or block any content they don't like. But the Great Firewall is only one half of China's attempts to control the web, as a new study from Harvard University researchers demonstrated recently. International Edition's Doug Bernard has been looking into the report and joins us now here in the studio. Hey there, Doug.
Hey there, Susan.
Hey, I understand that this has something to do with something called the 50 Cent Party. What is that all about?
So the 50 Cent Party has been rumored to exist for a while. Now, it's not actually a party, but it is an operation that was allegedly funded by and overseen by government officials in China. And essentially what it is, I'll just say this study, a multi-year study looking at literally millions and millions of data points and posts and analysis of where these are all coming from, demonstrates that this is not a rumored thing, that it actually is. What the 50 Cent Party is China paying what is essentially the equivalent of about 50 cents, Chinese citizens to create bogus posts that they then put up on the web.
This is propaganda.
This is definitely propaganda. This is false information. This is stuff that people are clearly being told what to say. But every time they do that and they post it somewhere, they get, you know, roughly the equivalent of 50 cents. So there's a financial incentive for people to do this. And then the real question is, well, what are they posting and why is the government bothering with this?
Well, what are they posting and why is the government bothering with this?
I'm glad you asked me. So what these posts are is, I'll say, unlike some other operations, what these posts are meant to divert attention from legitimate complaints that citizens have about, say, corruption in government, that kind of thing, and also to kind of create the illusion that there's widespread public support for the various policies of the government, even though there may in fact not be. So if somebody starts a thread, let's say, for example, about corruption in local government, people accepting bribes, that kind of thing, what 50 Cent partiers will then do is quickly start posting a whole barrage of other messages completely unrelated, basically to just disrupt any talk about things the government doesn't want people talking about.
Why are they doing this? Is it to bolster national pride or criticize other nations like the United States? Or...
You know, that's very interesting. That's what I think a lot of people had suspected. Again, but now looking at this study, these aren't argumentative posts. These aren't posts where people are trying to get into arguments or smear other people or really kind of wallow in negative kind of stuff. Behavior that we would kind of ascribe to trolls, quote unquote, internet trolls. What this is really meant to do is, again, distract and create this illusion that there is widespread, broad support for government policies when, in fact, there may not be. The idea is, and the belief among Chinese officials, is that if there's enough of it out there, and by enough we mean literally billions of posts, that people will basically come to accept it.
You've talked to us about trolls before, but would you mind refreshing our memory about what it is?
Sure. So I think Russia is the greatest example. Trolls are people who hop onto message sites, comment sections, that kind of thing, very often at media organizations, and leave incendiary, just kind of nasty comments with the hope of, quote, trolling somebody. In other words, getting them to respond in an equally nasty way and then just having the whole conversation be completely meaningless and everybody just kind of throws up their hands and walks away from it. That's what a troll is ultimately trying to do. He's trying to provoke really bad behavior by exhibiting really bad behavior. That's not what's happening here. They're not trying to create arguments. They're trying to create an illusion, I think, through this sort of positive power of positive messaging.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Doug.
You bet.
This is VOA.
Do you lead a busy life? Not always able to catch your favorite VOA radio or TV program? If you are keen to stay in touch with world news and events, give VOA podcasts a try.
VOANews.com.
Visit our website at VOANews.com to learn how you can become a subscriber to VOA podcasts and keep your life up to date.
VOA News, your trusted source for news and information.
I'm Millar Sagan, host of VOA's The Correspondents, a weekly roundup of the top stories with analysis from our dedicated reporters around the globe.
Among the stars expressing support, Frida Pinto.
This is a problem that inflicts almost every country.
Think of it as a conversation on the biggest issues of the day. Wherever the news may be, our correspondents are there. Listen to The Correspondents, Saturdays and Sundays on VOA.
Which song is the original? Led Zeppelin's famous Stairway to Heaven, or the instrumental by Spirit called Taurus? That's the center of a copyright lawsuit about to go to trial. VOA's Jim Stevenson spoke about the case with Top 20 Countdown host Ray McDonald.
We're talking about one of the all-time great bands, Led Zeppelin, and a song that has been around for us forever.
And it may have been around a little bit longer than we thought it had been.
Well, let's get into the spirit of this.
Okay, we're lifting this story from the mists of classic rock memory. On June 14th, Led Zeppelin singer Robert Plant, bassist John Paul Jones, and their guitarist Jimmy Page will be in a courtroom defending themselves against accusations of plagiarism. Now, lawyers for the late guitarist Randy Wolf, he went by the name Randy California, claimed that Randy's 1968 instrumental Taurus by the group Spirit was plagiarized by Zeppelin as the lead-in for their famous 1971 classic rock hit Stairway to Heaven, a song that just about everybody knows.
It doesn't get more classic than that.
Exactly. Led Zeppelin, interestingly enough, was Spirit's opening act on their first American tour. Mm.
The plot thickens.
In his declaration, Jimmy Page said he'd never heard Taurus until 2 years ago. So this is one of the prime things around which this case revolves. Is he telling the truth? Now, this case was to have begun on May 10th, but it was pushed back to June 14th. Led Zeppelin's lawyers say the similarities come from a common musical ground that is centuries old, and so it falls outside of copyright protection. This isn't Led Zeppelin's first go-round in a courtroom. Songwriter Jake Holmes sued Jimmy Page back in 2010 for not crediting him on the song Dazed and Confused. Jake was a folk singer, and Jimmy first adapted his song for his band The Yardbirds, which he was in before he formed Led Zeppelin. And the band also settled suits by granting co-writing credits for A Whole Lot of Love and The Lemon Song. Now, obviously, Led Zeppelin could settle this case, make it go away very easily. But I think they're taking a stand because Stairway to Heaven is so big, so well known, that they may be worried that if they settle this out of court, they're just going to be inundated by plagiarism lawsuits. And they may honestly feel like, no, they're being unfairly accused. So the whole thing starts on June 14th. If it hasn't settled yet, I doubt that it will. I think this is actually going to go to trial.
And this may be, as you kind of allude to, a legacy type of thing. That, hey, you know, this is our stuff. It's not anybody else's. This is who we are. This is what we're known for. This is what we'll always be known for.
This is their signature song. If Led Zeppelin was to admit, even tacitly, that it was plagiarized, it would be a huge black mark. So I think they're going to go down swinging.
The top 20 countdowns each and every week with our host, Ray McDonald. And follow Ray on Twitter.
At Ray on the Hits.
Thanks so much, Ray.
You got it, Jim.
We would like to invite you to join us on Twitter. We're at VOA underline IE. And thanks for joining us today for this edition of International Edition.
Next, an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
Like many nations, the United States pauses each year to honor those who died in its defense through military service. The custom is an ancient one, recalling a speech by the Athenian statesman Pericles that the casualties of war are worthy men, and the living need not have a more heroic spirit. On Monday, May 30th, Memorial Day, in communities across America, there will be speeches striking similar themes, and a moment of silence will be observed. Like the poppies in Flanders Fields, small flags will be seen among the graves in the nation's many military cemeteries, and the families of the fallen will stop to remember. Beyond mere ceremony, the day represents a debt paid by the living to those Americans who made the ultimate sacrifice to ensure their country's freedom. Some died in battle, some of disease. Others were lost in foreign prisons and never returned. Most died very young, defending their nation's ideals and liberties, perhaps even before they had much of a chance to fully appreciate them. Hundreds of thousands died fighting to make others free, too, in North Africa, Europe, the Pacific, Asia, and the Middle East. Memorial Day honors no single battle or war. Its meaning transcends heroic monuments. Rather, it is the recognition by a grateful nation that lives and blood lost in defense of its freedoms are never given in vain.
That was an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.